Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, we will be hearing from Dave teach about personal accountability, how this one simple change in ourselves can propel us to excellence. With that, we have got the king of personal accountability, John Miller, wrote the book QBQ, Question Behind the Question. This is one of the five required reading books here at Dave Ramsey's organization. Everybody coming in, everybody working here, this is a book that they must read. Now, who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo, and I have been here for about 11 years now, and I have the privilege of being able to share these principles here locally in Nashville at a three-day Entree Leadership event that we do, as well as around the country to corporations and conferences and all that kind of fun stuff, as well as the week-long Entree Leadership that Dave does. I get to teach a couple lessons there, but then spend the rest of my time working with businesses, tearing their business apart, putting it back together, and coaching them on it. We bring a large team down to that Entree Leadership event of our leaders to work specifically with companies. What can you expect from the podcast? Simply this. We want to give you information to change your life. We want to give you information that will grow your leadership, that will grow your business, that will help you to expand your leadership and help you to expand your business. But we don't want to just be the ones talking here. We want to hear from you as well. We've got a few ways that you can interact with us. Now, we have been doing this podcast for quite a while now, and we have continued to be number one on the podcast downloads for businesses. That, folks, is because of you. That is because of you. And we want to tell you how much we appreciate that and how much we thank you. Thank you not only for listening, but thank you for helping to get the word out about this. The ways that you can interact, a couple of ways. On Twitter, you can follow us at Entree Leadership. That is at E-N-T-R-E Leadership. But you can also do it through email at podcast@entreeleadership.com. What we're looking for is we want your comments. We want to know what you think. We want to know if you're enjoying this, if you're having fun with it, whatever it is. But we also want your questions. We will answer some of those questions here on the podcast, and we'll answer a lot of those also on my blog at chrislicurdo.com. So send those in so we can get those questions answered as well. Now, on to the lesson. This week's lesson is actually taken from one of our staff meetings. Every single week, we've got a staff meeting where every person, over 300 people, comes together to learn what's going on in the company. This is where we want the right hand to know what the left hand is doing. Now, here's the thing. We completely shut and lock down our company, period. This is not something you can avoid. This is not something you can miss. This is a required thing for you to do. You have to come to the staff meeting to hear what is going on. Why? This is where we pass on culture. This is a part of where we pass on culture. Being in that room, hearing what's going on, also hearing lessons from Dave from the stage on our core values changes the way you do your work. This specific week, Dave was speaking on personal accountability, how important it is. Now, this is also a huge part of what we teach in Entree Leadership and is part of our stated and written personal operating values. It's that important. So, here is Dave Ramsey with personal accountability.
Rick was talking about the number of people that have come on board and had you stand that have been here a year, 2 years is twice as many or more if we had them stand as well, 3 years. And of course, we work our way through the Entree Leadership lessons and show you the different things that we do as far as running the company and those sorts of things. Ever so often also, when we have time in a staff meeting, I'm going to make sure I take time, and I was instructed by Leadership Council to remember to do this the other day, which was a good thing to be instructed to do, a good thing to remember to do, because we get busy running this place and forget to say what the foundation is. We forget to restate it enough times. And so we do have stated, written core values and stated, written operating principles. You're welcome to read them anytime. You were supposed to be given them as part of your onboarding, as a matter of fact. But you know, it's good for us to kind of walk through some of those things and just remember, you know, what that means, what it looks like to reset our minds on these things ever so often. The first one, number one, they're not in any particular order that I'm aware of anyway. I am responsible. Everyone has personal challenges and struggles that they bring to the office. How many of you got something going on in your life right now that you wish wasn't there? That makes you human. Everybody does. Stan Mitchell talks about that in our spiritual life, there's usually a bucket coming up out of the well, which is the good things going on, but simultaneously, there's one of those buckets going down into the well somewhere. There's always something good going on. There's always something bad going on, just about. Sometimes the good outweighs the bad for that moment in time. Sometimes the bad outweighs the good for that moment in time. But it's a moment in time. It's a snapshot. Your life is not a snapshot of that moment. And what happens with people that hit a victim mentality is that they start saying pretty quickly, my life is not a film strip. My life is a snapshot. And so this bad moment defines me. Nothing but bad things happen to me. This bad moment defines me. Dude, if you've been walking around a while, you've had a bad moment. Some of you had a bad year. Some of you had a bad decade. And you got to decide in that process where you stand on that. Because everyone that we deal with that walks in those doors, it's a customer. Whether they're walking in those doors through the internet, they walk in those doors through the phone, or they walk in those doors physically, every one of them got something going on, just like every one of us got something going on. Everybody does. And, you know, and the more stuff that you that God has put you over, the more stuff that is that you are stewarding, the more lives, the more leadership position you're in, the bigger the challenges, the bigger the opportunities that are in front of you, you start looking at what your area could be here. You start looking at your children. You start looking at your marriage. You start looking at your dating life. You start looking at wherever you are. The more things that are there, the more complicated it is, the easier it is to find the negative things and have those be distractions. But the more things that were given to you to take care of, the more important it becomes for you to be strong in the middle of that. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. And when you get the crud knocked out of you, you're not dealing with a spirit of fear. And we all have that. Every one of us. And if you watch the news 24/7 and you don't think the economy is absolutely going to implode, then you know, I don't know how you do that. I mean, people that sit and watch Fox and watch CNN all day long, they just about everyone are conspiracy theorists. They truly have gone crazy. Because that'll make you crazy. It is not a view of reality. It's not a view of reality. And what you got to keep in mind when you have those glimpses of those kinds of things is that Diane Sawyer is a really nice lady. I like her. But she reads to you every night. That's her job. She reads to you. That's all she does. She doesn't write that. Those are not her thoughts. She doesn't even know what the next word's going to be before it comes up. She reads to you with great empathy and feeling and pauses and she's world class, but it's a freaking teleprompter. It's not reality. It's not reality. And so what you hear about the economy is not reality. What you hear about marriage is not reality. What you hear about kids is not reality. What you hear out there, especially through the media, and especially in the internet, especially on Twitter, is not reality. And so when you take your personal challenges and all that crap that is being shoveled into your life from out there, real quickly you can get here and go, you know, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. There's no way we can win. So we don't do victim thinking. That's why QBQ is one of the mandatory reading when you get here. We don't do it's hopeless. Because we serve a risen Savior. It's not hopeless. Do I understand always when things are crappy how it's going to work out? No, I don't. But I do understand that if things are really bad today, that tomorrow is going to be different. It might be worse. It might be better. But it's going to be different. I am not stuck in Groundhog Day. I don't do this thing in a loop. And virtue, Christian virtue, is a spiritual muscle that is built intentionally over time. That's why you meet people like Don Finto that come up here and stand, and Brother Hardwick that come up here and stand, and you just, the spirit of God is so powerful on those older saints that have been walking with him so long that you don't even know what it was they said. It didn't matter. You just want to be them when you grow up. You know what I'm talking about? That builds over time. That's not something you get the first day you raise your hands and accept Jesus as your Savior. That's not what happens. There's not an implant right then that you're automatically that wise, you're automatically that virtuous. Yeah, all of those things are available to you, but you usually don't walk in them immediately. Virtue is built over time. An awareness of victim thinking is not going to be my way of life. I do not operate in a spirit of fear, even if I have one occasionally. I'm not going to operate in that. I'm not a victim. Crap's going to happen, and we'll work through it. And that's the I'm responsible part. We don't blame somebody else and go, you know, it's so-and-so's fault. So-and-so's fault. I'm going to take care of this. I'm responsible. Something as simple as a phone call gets transferred three times inside of here and somebody starts feeling like they called the freaking federal government. Fix it. Take care of it. Don't let people out there be treated like that in an organization here. In this organization, don't do that. Somebody wandering around lost, doesn't know what's going on, something's locked up, they can't figure out a way to get in. You know, you fix it. That is your job. I don't know what your KRA, what your job description is. I don't care. It's a customer, it's a person that needs help, and your job's to help them right then. Now, if it's broken every day and you end up having to fix the same thing over and over, you probably ought to get somebody to look at the situation, and this is a broken thing we got. This is a process that's screwed up. We need to change it. That's a leadership issue. Turn it over to, you know, we'll get some help on it. We need to staff it, whatever it is. But in the short term, the first time that you run into it, it is your job. You are responsible. I am responsible. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent will be made rich. The soul. Richness of soul. I'm talking about wealth. How you feel in your gut, how you feel right there. This sense of that there's a depth to your life. There's something that's real. And that comes from taking responsibility. That comes from being diligent. That comes from I'm not a victim. That comes from and I'm not paralyzed by blaming other people for my stupidity. I did this. I'm changing. I'm going that way. How many of you made a mistake inside this organization last week? By the way, I'll go ahead and give you a hint. If you didn't raise your hand, your job is in danger. If you're not doing enough that you make a mistake pretty often, a non-fatal error, then you need to be doing more. We encourage non-fatal failure, and we don't want you to do something that blows the whole place up. That's not the point. But it is a good idea to be moving enough things around that something gets bumped. There's some piece of abrasion. There's somebody that's a little out of kilter. That's a good thing. Otherwise, there's not enough activity going on. Move something. We don't need people here that aren't moving things. So that's going to happen. You're going to make mistakes. Now, when that happens, when you screw up here, when you screw up with at home, when you screw up, for those of you who are married, with your spouse, with your kids, when you screw up, you know, just because I parented wrong yesterday, and I don't think yesterday that I'm aware of, but just because I did doesn't mean that I surrender my right to be dad, that I lost my rights to be the father. They're still in place. If you got little kids and you lost your temper and yelled at your little kid and you misbehaved, yeah, they deserved it, but you didn't handle it right. You know, been there, done that? Any of us that got one over two have been there. Well, it's over one, but you know, it's pretty easy to do. Pretty easy to do. Do you lose your right to parent? No. No. When you make a mistake, do you lose your rights in Christ? No. It's called grace. Grace is the ultimate do-over. How do we, Paul says, do we go out and sin more because of grace? No. Do we go make mistakes just so we get grace? No, that's not the point. The point is the diligent, which is you're doing the very best you can at any given moment, at any given thing, at any given part of your life. There's a wholeness and a richness to your soul. The diligent are made rich. You see a man who excels in his work, he'll stand before kings. He'll not stand before unknown men. You keep busting it. You keep working it. Then you're Tim Munsell standing in front of all his peers in the whole nation for this particular piece of software. This organization, because of men like him, is now recognized as rock stars. Why? Because he's a rock star. If you see a man who excels at his work, he won't stand before obscure men or unknown men. He will for a while. But eventually, excellence rises to the top. Takes a while. Diligence is excellence over time. It's not an easy thing. It's like building wealth isn't an easy thing. It takes a while to build a career. It takes a while to be a better dad. It takes a while to be a better mom. It takes a while to be a better spouse. It takes a while. It's not an instantaneous process. But be caught being responsible for your life. I am amazed at I can't get over it, the victim mentality that about 50% of our population operates on. I put stuff on Twitter. They're tweeting some of our Entree Leadership quotes, and the number of negative things you say, take care of your team, compensate your team, and people tweet back, companies in America don't take care of people. Translation, you're a freaking victim. It's always somebody else's fault. Nothing ever happens good to you, and it's somebody else's fault. Well, I got to tell you, it's your fault. It's the old story of the guy going along the path, and he passes an older man on a cane leaving a town, and he says, "How were the people in that last town?" The old man says, "How were they where you were last?" He said, "I found them to be crooks and swindlers." He said, "You'll find them the same there." He passes the next guy and he says, "How do you find the people in that town?" He said, "How were they in the last town where you were?" "They were the best people I've ever known. They were my neighbors and I hate to leave that town." "Well, you'll find them the same in that town." It's you. It's your perception. It's your decision. You get to decide that every morning. And it is a core value here. That you're responsible. In spite of all the crap going on, in spite of your problems, and we all got them, in spite of the challenges at work, and we all got them. If you don't have challenges, we don't need you. We don't need people to get anything done. In spite of this or that happening, in spite of whatever, you're in charge of you. You get to get up today and make a decision. You get to decide what you're going to do. That's a core value here. So, it's one of the reasons we just have such a low tolerance for blame shifting and for figuring out it's somebody else's fault and all these kinds of things and a real low tolerance for victim mentality. It's just, this organization is the organization that moves the immovable object. We're the ones that come against entire industries that don't think they can be moved. Entire industries that don't welcome us. Entire industries, really a whole freaking industry. I mean, we're the guys that take on Bank of America. This little bitty band of people, big old Bank of America, and not even scared about it. How weird is that? You ought to be scared. You ought to be, just not smart enough to be. That's the difference between having a job and having a calling. It's the difference between whether you're just hanging out here and collecting a paycheck, working a J-O-B, seeing how quick 5:30 gets here, or whether God put you here because there's something to do. You're responsible for that. Whatever that is, it isn't mine. It's yours. He brought you here to do it. I don't do that. Somebody else here doesn't do that. That is why you are here. That's your corner to be diligent in, to create that richness of soul. That thing you do. Yeah, that's a God thing. That's the deal. I am responsible I'm not a victim, and it's not your fault for my screw-ups. Core value.
Some of my favorite expressions of small children are, it's not my fault, or they made me do it, or I forgot. It's amazing how at an early age, we learn how not to be responsible. We learn how not to be accountable. Some of my favorite expressions of adults, it's not my job. No one told me. It couldn't be helped. These are things that, once again, what you're doing is telling everybody else that you are unwilling to step up and take accountability for what's going on. That you are unwilling to step up and take responsibility for what needs to be done. And the crazy thing is what that does is it just creates conflict. It just creates problems. But whenever you've seen somebody in your business or some other business step up and say, you know what? I will get that. I'll take care of that. I'll make sure that that happens. It completely changes the way that everybody feels around that situation. And think about what you just heard. Think about the lesson that just came from Dave. Here is the owner, the CEO of our company, in front of 300 and some odd people, standing on stage saying, listen, if this thing doesn't work, it's my fault. If this thing falls apart, it's my fault. There is somebody not just taking personal accountability in front of one person, not just taking responsibility in front of a couple people, but in front of his whole company, standing there saying, folks, it all ends, it all stops with me. The buck stops here. I have to be responsible enough. I have to be accountable enough to make sure that this thing works out. Otherwise, lives don't get changed. That's personal accountability. Now, we have a fantastic interview with John Miller. John is joining us on the podcast today, and he is the author of the book QBQ, Question Behind the Question. This is, again, a mandatory read for every single person in our company. Everyone, from the person who answers the phone at the front desk, to the EVPs, to the CFO, to the COO. Every single person in our company must read this book when you get hired. John is the founder of QBQ Incorporated, which is an organization that is based in Colorado, and it is dedicated to helping organizations make personal accountability a core value. You've heard me say, you have to have core values. You have to figure out what your core values are. If you don't know what they are, get started on them right now and make personal accountability one of those. John graduated from Cornell University in 1980. He's been involved in training and speaking since 1986, and he's also written a few books, two of those being Flipping the Switch, Unleashing the Power of Personal Accountability, and Outstanding, 47 Ways to Make Your Organization Exceptional. On the show is John Miller. Welcome, John.
Chris, thanks for having me on. Glad to be here today.
Oh, it is so good to have you on the show. And I know that this is going to be one of those difficult interviews. You're such a low-key guy. You need some serious caffeine, don't you?
I will try to perk up just for you.
I know. You're always lacking in energy. Well, again, it is great to have you on the show because what we are doing with this podcast is we are trying to grow leadership out there. We are trying to help people, especially we have so many small businesses, medium-sized businesses that are trying to figure out what their core values are, what is important to them, and this actually happens to be a question that I get a lot on the blog. So, hitting personal accountability. Many of the leaders out there have this poor me mentality, and they let their teams get away with it as well. You see this all the time. How should they handle it, and can this attitude be changed, or is there just no hope?
Chris, those are a lot of great questions, and I thank you for having me on. I look forward to sharing some thoughts with you. Let's go back to an opening statement you made about a core value. What really is a core value? To me, it's a guiding principle. It's a standard. It's something we choose to live by day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And what I find with managers and leaders, people who run businesses, people who start businesses, where they get off track is thinking that personal accountability is for everybody else.
Right.
There's really two myths around accountability. The first myth is we think it's a group thing, so then we think it's a team thing, and then we start hiding behind the team. And if my company doesn't hit its numbers, it's got to be the salespeople's fault. And the second myth is, I think accountability is something I hold other people to. Mm. So then I start pretending like it's my job to call everybody together, you know, every 2 weeks and hold them accountable, and the only thing that comes through is arrogance.
And it's all about everybody else but me.
That's right. And, of course, we know, and you know at the Ramsey organization, that humility is the cornerstone of leadership. So if you're going to really speak the core values, you need to find inside ourselves. A manager, a leader, needs to find inside himself or herself that inner desire to show humility to people around him and to practice personal accountability at every turn, to use accountability as a prism. Personal accountability is a prism through which I make decisions, through which I react, respond to situations and problems. So all I'm saying is a core value truly guides us. And we find that leaders, especially people who run businesses that succeed, there is absolutely no poor me attitude, like you say. There's no victim thinking, no finger pointing, no blaming, no procrastination. It simply is all about asking what we call the question behind the question, the QBQ. What can I do to improve me? How can I make a difference today? When I start asking questions like that, what's happened is I've made personal accountability and humility core values for me because they are guiding me at every moment.
Right. Absolutely. And we're all often very able to take responsibility for the things that we've done great. I mean, it's never an issue for a lot of people to, if they've done something really well, if they've been successful at something, take responsibility for that. But what about when we fail or when we screw up? Tell me about a time that you, John Miller, messed up, did something wrong, and either didn't or needed to take personal accountability, and how did that affect you in a positive or negative way?
Chris, how much time do you have? I mean, come on, I'm 53 years old, married for 31 years, 7 children. How many mistakes
I've
made?
I probably should ask the wife that question, shouldn't I?
Yes, go ahead and email my wife. She'll let you know. You know, the mistake that I love to talk about is the fact that in 2000, I actually thought I could be a day trader, Chris.
Oh, gosh, been there, done that.
And here's the key about this whole story that I tell when I speak to groups. I lost so much money that I had to go to my wife and personally, on my knees, apologize for my foolish ways. Mm. I'm sure you could find me in Proverbs somewhere because I was a foolish, haughty, arrogant man. I thought I could day trade. And now, though, I look at the world today and I think about all the messages society sends. Hey, if you bought a house a few years ago on a risky mortgage and you now can't afford it and you lost that house, hey, it's not your fault. It's the lender's fault. It's
Absolutely.
The bank's fault. It's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's fault. It's the Congress' fault. It's the president's fault. No, it's my fault. If I signed the mortgage, I own the decision. I own the action. I need to learn from it. But if I was to apply what we hear about in the society every day about not being accountable, you know what I could say? That money I lost wasn't my fault.
Nope.
Hey, it was E-Trade's fault because they waived the account opening fee. It was my wife's fault because she let me do it. It was my neighbor's fault because he gave me the idea. I could go on and on about all the people who were at fault for me losing money in E-Trade. And then I go, wait a minute, no. When I do that, when I blame, I'm not learning. When I point fingers, I'm not growing. When I play victim, I'm not serving anybody, including me. So what I have to do is look at that huge mistake, that huge foolish mistake I made in judgment, and just say, well, what can I do to move forward? How can I contribute? What can I do to get back on mission? What can I do to get back on message and use the skills and the talents that God gave me? Because definitely, Chris, they are not in day trading.
No, absolutely not. I feel bad for all those people who are trying to make it out there, because if that is you listening right now, stop. It is the wrong direction to go. And I love how, like you just pointed out, you know, you have got to understand that the government's not at fault here. The president's not at fault here. And the funny thing is that they are exactly the ones that are trying to be the white knights to save you by telling you that they can fix everything. And obviously they're not going to.
Well, and our friend Dave Ramsey has said many times, don't expect the government to save you. And you just said it, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely.
And anytime I expect others to rescue me, here's what's happened. I have become the victim.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
When I start becoming the victim, truly, I really believe this, I steal something from my soul. I'm not complete when I'm asking, why is this happening to me? Why did they do this to me? I only really rise above when I can ask that QBQ, hey, how can I learn from this mistake? What can I do to make a difference?
Mm-hmm. There's a recent poll that's done, a report that came out by CBS. a poll on worker job satisfaction. I'm sure that you've seen this, that almost 60% of Americans are not happy. Now, this seems like an epidemic or a crisis, you know, to probably those that are reading that article, but we kind of understand where this is coming from. That seems like it goes to the core of who people are. Why do you think so many folks are unhappy with their work?
Well, Chris, as Christians, we can go straight to the fact that so many people cannot rest in, so many people don't rest in Jesus being their Lord and Savior. Mm. And from that comes a lot of trouble. We both know that.
They're looking at their work for their happiness.
Well, certainly, and we all struggle with that. You know, am I my work? Am I my profession? I will say that I find a lot of people are unhappy because somehow they've just felt they have to stay in a job they don't like, and then they can be the people on the elevator on a Monday morning wishing it was the weekend, complaining about waiting for hump day, you know, Wednesday, talking to their colleagues at 10 of 8 on Monday at the water cooler saying, you know, when is someone going to tell us what's going on and why did they cut our benefits and who's going to train me more? I find that so many people bring upon their own happiness with their thinking. See, this goes back to the opening question about core values. If I don't like what I'm doing, if I don't enjoy my job, the real question is, why am I there?
Right, absolutely.
And so, you know, we teach groups all the time this tongue-in-cheek, my favorite meeting statement, when my favorite meeting theme would be believe or leave.
If you don't believe
in the mission of your organization, if you don't know why it exists, if you can't fit your purpose into the organization's purpose, if your gifts and talents are not matched up with your job description, if you are waiting for Wednesdays, get out now.
Right.
We tell people this all the time, believe or leave. And here's what happens. Truly accountable people, leaders, they understand that everything is a choice. Nobody drove them to work that day and made them stay at that company. Nobody dragged them out of bed that day to go work there. They chose to get up and go work for that company. So they either say, hey, this company is not perfect, but I'm going to stick around and make a difference and be positive. Or they say, you know what? This isn't working for me. What can I do with my skills and talents somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
That happiness factor comes from taking control of our life by recognizing everything we do is a choice. That's really when personal accountability drives us. That's really when it's a core value.
You know, you're talking about that, John. One of the things that we are always pushing, especially in Entree Leadership, in the new book, Entree Leadership, one of the things that he's talking about is how work matters, that it's got to be something that's bigger than you. It's got to be something that, you know, if you're going to, every day, going to a job, life is going to suck. Life is not going to be fun. You've got to find a higher calling. And it doesn't mean that you have to go somewhere else. It might just be tweaking what you're doing where you are. But the most important thing is you've got to understand that work itself, if it's not fun, if you don't love what you're doing more than 50% of the time, then you're going to hate it all the time.
That's right.
Okay, so if I'm not that person at work who's struggling to find personal accountability, if I'm somebody who is sold out on it, if I'm somebody who I take the, you know, the responsibility, but the people around me are not, it can be extremely frustrating listening to people whining and groaning about, you know, what's going on, the whole Chicken Little attitude can be demoralizing. How do you combat that when you're the person who is taking the personal accountability?
That is such a great question, and it sums up so many things in life. You know, we said in the New Outstanding book, which Dave actually endorsed, and I'm still so honored. I look at the jacket, I see his name on it. It just kind of thrills me still that he would endorse Outstanding. And I think he did because he recognizes this fundamental idea. It's all about me being outstanding. I shouldn't wait for others to be outstanding. We even say that in the preface of the book. When we set the content up, we say, basically, this book is dedicated to anybody who cares enough to improve the place. That's a very personal thing. Hey, I care enough to improve the place, and it has nothing to do with the attitudes, the actions, behaviors, and thoughts of people next to me, in the cubicle over from me, my boss, my staff. It truly is all about me. You know, Chris, my wife Karen gave me a T-shirt that says it's all about me. I don't think it was a positive marital statement the day she gave it to me.
I don't think
but,
so.
But I got to tell you, when it comes to personal accountability, it is all about me choosing to be outstanding, not waiting for others. It's all about me recognizing I can only change me. I think the number one takeaway from the QBQ content, which ties into leadership, is this. I can only change myself.
So how do you take that though? And like, because I get questions like this on the blog all the time of people asking, what do I do about the other person? And one thing I like to share with them is that I do believe that there can be a mentoring process. I do believe that you can lead from where you are. And usually the things that I'm getting are, they're always personal accountability, obviously, because there's something wrong with somebody else. So in that sense, they're blaming somebody, but I'm always coming back and saying, okay, here's a few ways to mentor them. How would you say in this area that you could mentor somebody who is a peer of yours?
Okay, that is an excellent point, but it comes down to a couple of things. Number one, the key thing is, does the other person want mentoring? Mm. And this is where managers struggle. See, my background is I sold management training for a decade. And I saw a lot of managers who basically said, I'm going to motivate that guy till it kills him. You know, they thought it was their job to put inspiration and motivation and internal desire into their people. That's like a father saying to a son, I don't want you to be a musician, I want you to be a physician. And the longer that dad says that, the more the relationship dies. We cannot change other people. Now, if somebody comes to us because they see in us certain qualities, certain leadership characteristics, and they come to us and they say, hey, Chris, you know what? I think you've got something I don't have. I want that. Can you help me have that? Wow. Are we set up to help?
So do you believe that taking responsibility and being an example can also influence others?
I believe these two thoughts. Personal accountability is the right way to live, and modeling is the most powerful of all teachers.
Amen.
And that we can't change anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, we took a river rafting trip recently in Colorado, and the 24-year-old river guide who we got to know throughout the day spoke to us about how his parents both work for a major corporation in Seattle, and they keep saying, come work for our company. And he keeps saying, I don't want to. I love what I'm doing. And we laughed about it. But I wonder if those parents keep trying to change that young man, you know what he's going to do? He's going to stop calling them. He's going to stop interacting with them. He's going to stop being around them, because that's a frustrating experience when people try to change us. Now, if the day that young man has, you know, what we used to call a paradigm shift and says, you know what, I need to go get a real job, and he calls his mom or dad, that's when the door has opened. So to your point, yes, we can mentor. Yes, we influence through our actions and our examples. But I just want to make it clear here that if accountability is a core value for me, I recognize that I can coach and cajole and confront and communicate all day long, but I never change the other person. And this is frustrating for managers, business owners, and parents. But when they walk away, they say, you know what? Leadership, true leadership, is all about me changing me. And here's the integrity piece. I have got to practice the principles I espouse. And one of the problems with leaders, managers, is they're telling everybody else how to run their life, but they're not practicing the words that are coming out of their own mouth. So all right. Personal accountability, integrity, it's all tied together.
Okay. So if I'm a business owner, let's kind of jump off of the personal accountability side and just look at, what if I am just a small business owner who's grown tired, frustrated, and wants to give up? Now, obviously, there is an accountability there, because if you're running a business, assuming that's not just you, you've got team members and all. But what do you tell somebody who, in this day and age, is just tired and wants to stop?
Probably have to look at their behaviors on a daily basis. That's where good coaching and mentoring would come in. But one thing we believe very strongly is stress is a choice. Stress is a choice.
I like that.
Thank you. And so many people, I know your listeners are thinking, yeah, John, but you don't know who I live with. this person's a carrier. No, I'm sorry. My teenage son, my staff, the market, the president of the country, the economy, the competition, none of this creates my stress. See, let's go back to what this show is all about, leadership. One of the problems I find is too many managers, leaders, whatever you want to call them, owners, they think leadership is title, mm-hmm. position, and tenure. It has nothing to do with my title. It has nothing to do with the breadth and depth of my position. And it has nothing to do with how many years I've been doing anything. It is all about the way I think. We define leadership as the moment-by-moment disciplining of my thoughts. The moment-by-moment disciplining of my thoughts. I must stay on top of my thinking. And this comes back to the person who's tired, drained, fatigued. More often than not, they're doing it to themselves. Yeah. They're not recognizing that their efforts to change other people, the way they react to problems, the way they respond to balls that get dropped, the way they act when mistakes happen. Why this? When will they? Who made the mistake? When they don't realize that the way they're responding, Chris, is draining them. And the minute they learn this better way of living called personal accountability, they have so much more energy and so much more fun. And you know what? I never tell people they can make more money practicing personal accountability, though that might happen. I tell people life is more fun when I practice personal accountability. When I get rid of the blame, the victim thinking, procrastination from my life, and start asking those QBQs, how can I contribute today? I am on a higher plane, a higher path, and that's where I need to be.
Nice. John, you have in your book a metaphor called beating the ref. What is that all about?
My dad was Cornell wrestling coach for many, many years, and he raised me by telling me the day of a match, he'd say, son, tonight you have three people on that mat to beat. Number one, your opponent, okay. Number two, yourself, overcome your fears. That ties right back to leadership thinking. Leaders are on top of their thinking. They discipline their thoughts. And then, of course, he'd always say, and of course, you need to beat the referee. Well, what do you mean, Dad? You mean I can't come off the mat after losing a close bout and blame the guy in black and white who did make a couple questionable calls? You mean, Dad, I can't blame the economy? You mean, Dad, I can't blame my staff? You mean, Dad, I can't blame the competition? You mean, Dad, I can't blame the government regulations that they're putting on me? I hope, Chris, you and your listeners have just noticed the switching of the metaphor from the wrestling to life. You mean, Dad, when I come off the mat, I need to say I own it. Mm-hmm. I need to say I own the result, no excuses. Mm-hmm. And he'd say, yeah, son, and here was the punchline. Yeah, son, you must be good enough to beat the ref. Mm-hmm. It's so much beyond our control when we run businesses, when we manage people, when we serve the market. There's so much beyond our control. And the weak person, I'm going to say that bluntly, the weak person blames everything out there, but the strong leader says, what can I do to own the result? I will be good enough to beat the ref.
Absolutely. John, this has been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, Chris.
We absolutely appreciate it. How can people get more of you?
Oh, well, they can find us at QBQ.com, QBQ.com, or OutstandingOrganization.com, and just visit us. They can learn about the books QBQ, Flipping the Switch, Outstanding. We have a Bible study that connects QBQ to the Bible called Specs and Planks. So we have many things to do at the website. We'd love to have people stop by.
Fantastic. Thanks again, John, and we hope to hear from you again soon.
Thank you, Chris.
Final thoughts after a great lesson and a great interview? It is all up to me. I almost said it's all about me, which technically it is. It's all about me. Not in a way of being egotistical, not in a way of being prideful, but in a way of saying, if I don't fix it, if I don't take care of it, if I don't step up and solve the problems, then I'm not taking responsibility. I'm not taking accountability. You have to realize that it is all about you. It is all up to you. You've got to quit looking for places to lay blame. You've got to quit looking for places to dump responsibility. What you have to do is, in each and every situation, ask, what can I do to fix this? What can I do to make this right? What can I do to make this better? As you do that, that will change your leadership. It will absolutely change your leadership. And again, I feel like a lot of people struggle in this area because nobody ever taught them the right way to be. This is your day to go forward and change that. If this is an area where you're struggling, this is the day you go forward and change that. So, now that you've listened to this, I want you to write down some of the things that you can do to change what's going on in your company today. I'm pretty sure before you listen to this podcast, something went wrong somewhere. Something happened at the office, something happened at home, whatever it is, take out a piece of paper, take out a pen, write it down, and then I want you to answer the question, what can I do to make this right? Well, folks, that puts another Entree Leadership Podcast in the books. Let me tell you, we are having a blast with this. We're having a lot of fun getting to hear from you guys, hearing your responses, telling us how great this is, how much you've enjoyed this, how much you've loved this. You have made this the number one business download podcast by far. For weeks, you have made that happen. So we want to thank you. How can you continue to let us know? How can you interact with us? A few ways. You can follow us on Twitter at Entree Leadership. That is at ENTRE Leadership, or you can email us at podcast@entreleadership.com. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear what you think. Let us know. Let your friends know. Tell those leaders that you know that need to hear this. Let your teams know. They need to be hearing this information as well. We also want you to ask us some questions. We want to know what you need to know, what you want to hear. We will answer some of those here on the show. We will answer a lot of those on my blog at chrislocurto.com, chrislocurto.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at chrislocurto. Well, folks, we want to thank you again for tuning in. We want to thank you again for listening. But I want to thank the people that make this happen every single time. Chris Mefford, our producer. Colin Fatke, our audio extraordinaire. Becky Powell, our queen of awesomeness. John Miller, and of course, Dave Ramsey. So go out there, make this a fantastic day. Put some of this information to use. Thank you, and we look forward to talking to you on the next Entree Leadership Podcast. Folks, right now couldn't be a better time in history to operate or start a small business. If you're ready to take your leadership to the next level or start your own company, then join me, Dave Ramsey, for the one-day event based on my New York Times number one bestseller, Entree Leadership. At Entree Leadership One Day, I'll teach you everything you ever wanted to know about building and growing a business. You'll learn about goal setting, communication, and yes, even accounting. This material is changing the way people view business and leadership. You won't find this stuff in some college business class. This is 20 years in the trenches of leading and actually running a business. This is how our company works. It's leadership training for everyone. When you do what you love with your life, your vocation can become your vacation. Learn how at Entree Leadership One Day in Atlanta on January 20th. Get your seats now at DaveRamsey.com or call 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223. Folks, right now is the best time possibly in history to operate or start a small business. If you're ready to take your leadership to the next level or start your own company, join me, Dave Ramsey, in Tucson, Arizona at the Westin La Paloma Resort, May 6th through the 12th for the Entree Leadership Master Series. At this event, I'll teach you personally everything you ever wanted to know about building and growing a business. You'll also experience personal leadership coaching from my executive team. You won't find this stuff in some college business class. This is 20 years in the trenches of leading and actually running a business. This is how our company works. It's based on my New York Times number one bestseller, Entree Leadership. So bring your spouse, bring your team, but you better hurry. These events always sell out because they're limited to only 200 people. So call 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223. Ask for Daniel Tardy or online at DaveRamsey.com.